Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey all, welcome back to Locked On Cavaliers. I'm Chris Manning, your host from Fear the Sword and the Step Back. Sorry I've been gone the last couple days, so I just got my voice back. You can probably hear the remnants of an illness. I got some neurovirus, which has been going around in my office, my day job office, so I haven't been able to talk really for about 2 days. I've been pretty ill, but feeling better on Tuesday night, a little bit more energized. And just wanted to get back on the flow of podcasting. I miss the daily stuff. It sucks. I'm able to talk about everything that's been going on. And, you know, there's a game tonight. There are some really interesting games over the weekend. I'm not going to get to the games over the weekend until we get to the mailbag, which I'm just going to push to next week. But I'm just going to run through some of the news from the past couple days. So if we're looking ahead tonight, the Cavs are playing the Wolves. The second half of the show, actually, is going to be a preview pod with Zach Bennett, and he's a really great Wolves blogger that I recommend following. Follow those guys on Twitter. They're great. This is one of the most fun shows. I think you'll have fun. Couple things about the Cavs. So, of course, the big news that the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to have an open workout. Cleveland.com is describing the situation as the Cavs getting involved in some stuff. Kyle Chalmers, Kirk Heinrich, and Lance Stephenson. Now, I think the Radar don't know that he will be there. I saw another thing about confirm that. I haven't seen that anywhere legit, but it seems possible that he could be there as well. Worked out for the Celtics last week. We don't know that for sure. But you know you're getting Lance, you know you're getting Kirk, and you know you're getting Rio. Mario Chalmers actually tweeted about it. Lance Stephenson posted a picture of a plant growing on his Instagram of the Cavs are looking to fill that last roster spot. Now, I can't say for certain that they're going to sign someone in the next couple days, but I think they are going to make a move. So, like, I don't really think Heinrich is any good, right? Like, I think he's old. I think he's been good for he's a veteran. And there's something to that, but he wasn't even good during the last couple of years with the Bulls. I don't see value. And it's because he's a playmaker, has played with LeBron, can shoot, et cetera, et cetera. Plays the point guard position, I think would be really useful. Stephenson is the wild card here. He isn't coming off as serious of an injury as Mario Chalmers is, but he is coming off a groin injury that he suffered with the Pelicans, where he was kind of decent with them to start the year. He was good with the Grizzlies last year, towards the end of the year when they had all those crazy bench mob units in Memphis. And now you have Lance Stephenson, who annoyed the crap out of LeBron, who blew on LeBron's ear and back when LeBron was in Miami, all this different stuff, could be on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, I think if you're getting LeBron's okay on him, and you're going to get a Lance that is actually good, I actually kind of think he might be the best guy. Now, I've gotten questions about a Lance and, you know, on the show before, and wondering if he's, you know, a good fit or all this stuff, but I actually think he makes some sense in the way that he's a guy that can switch. Like, this is a guy who could switch onto the Warriors' wings. Like, this is a guy who, if he's out on the floor with other guys, he could pop out and defend other wings in pick-and-roll situations. Like, he's going to be able to handle the ball a little bit. He's not a great shooter, and that's sort of my concern with him. But he did hit threes at an okay level when he was in his last year with the Pacers, before everything went wrong in Charlotte. I think he is a guy that can be okay. Like, I think this isn't a guy that I think is going to necessarily be really good, but this is a guy that I think could fill a role. Watchers, do they end up getting two of these guys? I'm still an advocate of a Briante Weber instead of one of the veteran guys that they've been sort of talking about. I think he would make a lot of sense. I think he would certainly be younger and potentially a little bit more livelier than some of the other options that we've been talking about, but he doesn't seem to necessarily be on the table. I think the way they could get to two guys here is cutting or trading Birdman. I think buying him out would be a sunk cost, but he's already a sunk cost, and I don't know how you're trading Chris Anderson. If you can find a reasonable way to trade him without giving up anything and just a pure dump, do it. But I think you might have to buy him out or get him in some sort of deal where you are making a trade for somebody else. I think there are just too many issues with trading Birdman and making that a functional, realistic thing for that to be an actual scenario, unfortunately. So don't expect that to happen. I would just say if they can get two guys, it's probably going to be becoming Birdman. That is the most logical way it happens. You know, of course, that they apparently lost $40 million, according to that Forbes report, and then Koreans Cleveland, a respected business publication, had a source saying that it was conservatively more than $40 million. Like, the source said $40 million was a conservative estimate. So there's a lot of sort of play here, and then there's also the news that the Cavs apparently tried to deal for T.J. McConnell, offered a pick and Jordan McRae, who was really drafted and then cut by the Sixers, to get McConnell. I don't think McConnell's actually good. I think giving that much up for him, as little as that actually is, kind of would have been a mistake, but I'm not a GM, so take that with a grain of salt. Anyway, that's kind of all the roster stuff. We're going to see some movement soon, I think. We're going to get some interesting stuff soon, I think. Looking at the games the past couple days, the Mavs game, it's a loss. You didn't have Kevin Love. He's not going to play Wednesday either, unfortunately. Got a creaky back. No structural damage, but that's where we're at with him. I think he is going to be fine, I think resting him is smart. Honestly, you could see a scenario where he doesn't even play in the All-Star game. So those of you out there who want Joel Embiid, you might get your wish if Kevin Love's back continues to be an issue, because it's in the Cavs' best interest for him to rest those 5 days if possible. So that's kind of the quick news roundup. Don't look too much into the games with Pittsburgh. I think the Cavs are in a much better place mentally than they were a week ago. You're going to get some roster movement soon, and I know that's always really exciting. A lot of trade rumors and free agent rumors that are always a lot more fun to talk about than some of the crappy random January games. So again, workouts that are happening Wednesday, some interesting things are going to happen there, and we'll see what kind of comes out of it, but it's going to be interesting. I mean, just nothing is ever boring when you're talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then, you know, we're going to get into this Wolves preview with Tim and Zach, but before we do that, I'll let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek, the best sponsor for Locked On Cavs. SeatGeek is a way for you to buy and sell tickets right on your phone. You can check any concert, any game, anything you want to go see in your city, it's going to be on SeatGeek. There are deal scores right in the app, so you know exactly what kind of deal you're going to get. You can see the view from your seat right in the app, so you know exactly what kind of angle you're going to be at when you're at this game. It's going to get all the best deals from all the best ticket sites, so you know exactly what you're going to pay, and you know you're going to get the best deal. Best of all, my listeners can save $20 on that first purchase by entering the promo code LOCAVS, that's LOCAVS, under the settings tab. And on that first purchase, you'll save $20 by using that promo code. And, I mean, you save $20, you get to go see something you want to see, and you're going to have a great time, I guarantee, because of SeatGeek. I've used SeatGeek. I got Run the Jewels tickets with it. I got Kanye tickets with it. Probably going to get some Migos tickets with it, because it's going to be hard to get those Migos tickets when they come through. But I'm going to use SeatGeek to get them. And, again, save $20 on that first purchase by using the promo code LOCAVS. That's L-O-C-A-V-S, excuse me, and enter that in under the settings tab. And so without further ado, here's the little conversation I had with Tim and Zach. Hope you enjoy. Probably going to talk to them again after the Wolves game tonight. So I promise we'll be back tomorrow. Voice is back. I'm back. Locked On Cavs is back. We'll talk to you soon.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
What up, Chris?
Hey, how's it going?
Chris, we've been recording this entire time, but we've been, like, I messed up your number four times, so don't even, yeah, don't even worry about swearing, don't even worry about, this is a collabo edition of Locked On Wolves and Locked On Cavs, so we're just going to be fully transparent.
Amazing.
I guarantee you that's not what you had in mind, right?
I mean, it's better than what I had in mind.
Oh, really? Well,
good answer.
I'm here with Tim Fakeless, of course. You two are familiar with each other, I hope.
Yeah.
Well, what goes on with you, man?
Oh, nothing much, man. You guys are familiar with snow, and it's been snowing in Cleveland for like.
We are familiar with snow in Minneapolis. That is correct.
Yeah, breaking, big if true.
I have two things. The first thing I heard once on a Low Post podcast that people in Cleveland literally pray for it to snow because it freezes over the lake, and that if the lake doesn't freeze over, it's awful. Is that correct?
That's true. Like, there's areas near the lake that if there is even snow that comes off the lake, they can get like 15 inches.
Good Lord.
So
yeah.
My follow-up to that, which doesn't count as the second question that I pre-warned you about, did it snow and ice over to your liking? Or has it? And if it hasn't, do you expect it to? Or is it already over and have you stored on milk and eggs enough? What's the deal?
I was hoping it was going to snow enough where I could work from home today. That didn't happen. But I'm hoping it's not supposed to snow anymore, which is good because I'm really trying to see a wild Carl Anthony Towns tomorrow night, and I want to be able to get into the city. So that's my answer.
His name is Chris Manning. You can find him on Twitter at CWM Writes, WRITES. All right, man. Well, I read the column on ESPN.com about, you know, well, not so much about LeBron, but
featuring LeBron heavily in his comments.
Just going ham, dude. Ham on some on Charles Barkley. What are your thoughts?
Not surprised.
Charles Barkley had it coming, right?
Yeah, Charles Barkley said some kind of off-base stuff.
Shocker.
About
Wait, Charles Barkley made an uninformed opinion about a basketball player or thing?
Again, big if true, guys. Big if true.
Chris, I will apologize, although you are receiving this and going with it really well. I apologize for putting you on the spot, but this is awesome. This is probably the best episode of Locked On Wolves yet.
It's the best episode of Locked On Cavs ever, to be honest.
We're
collabing. It's great.
Yeah.
We're two cold NBA cities, and those damn coastal elites, you know, getting their Deion Waiters fixes and their Warriors fixes. Like, we're the cold NBA cities kind of making it work. But the Barkley stuff isn't surprising because Charles says a lot of stuff that is just wacky, right? Like, Charles says a lot of
correct
stuff that
percentage of TNT broadcasts that Charles Barkley has consumed alcohol before. Go
50.
safe estimate. Go on.
Yeah. And look, LeBron is not in a good, like, dealing with stuff face, right? Like, he's not in, like, a good, like, a happy place right now. Like, he's, you know, I don't know if you guys, like, saw or heard about his, like, ethering of, like, the management after they lost to the Pelicans, and Terrence Jones just literally destroyed them. Like, he's been cranky lately. He's kind of, like, looking for stuff, and then there's just all this stuff where David Griffin's, like, firing back at him on the record in front of media. It's been kind of a chippy time, and I think the Barkley stuff, he's just kind of done with it. Because LeBron's not a guy who I think, as much as like people label him as this dramatic person in some ways he very much is. I think when it comes to like respecting the greats and respecting the players before him, he's very aware of where he stacks up and very aware of what guys did before him. But I don't think he doesn't like it when guys are just kind of piling on him because he's part of this younger generation. I mean, because to Charles Barkley, LeBron's like this young punk in some ways, right? Like, LeBron is this new era superstar that didn't have to play in the hand-check 90s, right?
LeBron's agree.
Just like not, LeBron's not here for that nonsense.
Right? He goes, go back and watch the 93 finals as if it's some folder in his bookcase that you can just pull out and see. I mean, he cited that shit as if he's seen it a million times.
Yeah. LeBron,
it was incredible. And I was born in Phoenix, and I grew up rooting for the Nash era Suns, and you know, Charles Barkley, I sort of owe it to like defend that team with Thunder Dan, and Kevin Johnson was the first jersey I owned, if only because my dad bought it for me. So it's like, I'm sort of obligated as a fan to back that team up. But I was reading the column and I showed, you know, I alerted Tim Fakeless to it. I'm like, dude, LeBron went in on Charles. And it was fucking awesome for, you know, pardon my French. It's like LeBron went in on his gambling. He more or less said, Charles, you wouldn't be on TV if you didn't have, you know, bills to pay. It was fucking awesome, man.
Yeah. So I like went to bed last night early because I had just kind of a weird day, and I was like, I had a migraine. I was like, all right, I'm just going to go to bed. They're playing the Mavs. Like, it doesn't matter. Shout out to my guy Tim Cato, but like the Mavs.
Wolves had the same mindset and lost by like 20 or something the other week. Yeah, so, whatever.
But I wake up and I've got like a bunch of GChat messages from one of my colleagues, the fearless store, Carter Rodriguez.
Okay.
And he's just like, "Yo, like, did you see this?" Because normally we're both up like obnoxiously late. And he's just like, "Yo, did you see this? Like, I'm gonna post something about it." And he like sends me a link and everything. And I wake up to get up for work and stuff. And I'm like, "Oh, I really missed something." And then I go back and I read Dave McMenamin's tweets and like read the stories. And I was just like, "Damn!" like I really wish there was like a full video of that. And I don't think it exists, but like I would really need that in my life. And then Charles like responding today is just hilarious.
Oh, I did not see the response.
Please elaborate on the Charles Barkley response, because I too have not seen
it. He just kind of like laughed. Like was kind of like, I'm going to do me, like kind of like got on his high horse a little bit about it.
After how many vodka sodas do you think?
How much money did he lose at the track?
I was going to say, he was at the horse track races. Just
this is wrong,
losing
and
cash.
It's totally in jest, and I need to add that disclaimer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I need to add that disclaimer so I don't have to go back and edit it out. We're just having fun. Yeah. With the bit.
Well, and Dwayne Wade got involved too. I don't know.
Oh, really? Like, say
Wade
more.
Wade stuck up for LeBron. Like, can you guarantee, you know, that banana boat group chat was probably lit today. Like, it was probably great.
Oh my goodness. Did you just alert us to a group chat app
the banana boat group chat has to exist. Like, I refuse to exist.
What is,
like,
is banana boat an app? Is that what you're saying?
No,
like that picture of the banana boat with LeBron, Carmelo, Wade, and I think Chris Paul. Yeah.
Someone's a fake news member of basketball Twitter.
No,
I'm getting out of it.
That's a lost reference. I will admit that I've been somewhat detached from Twitter since my account got hacked a couple months ago.
Oh, that's fair.
But Chris Manning. You are fucking awesome. Thank you for filling us in on all that stuff.
Yeah, I really need proof. I guarantee you to do this, but I would like proof one day that like Chris Paul, Carmelo, Wade, and LeBron are all like texting each other and like talking crap all the time. Like, I just know it exists. LeBron's too petty for that not to exist.
Do you think Chris Bosh is unhappy that he isn't part of that group text? And he's like,
he's playing music, like he's chilling. Like,
yeah,
he's good.
No, that's Bosh the correct response.
Drinking craft beer somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing good.
Working on an app.
Yeah. Him and Bynum are building the computer somewhere together.
Anywho, I'm going to hijack your whole idea where we collabo for a podcast for just one more question. What did you make about LeBron's comments with the whole, we need another playmaker?
I am intrigued by that, yeah.
Okay, so I think he's onto something, right? Like, I think if you're looking at what the Cavs need, I would almost argue, just because of how much they're asking of Tristan Thompson and what Channing Frye and Kevin Love's defensive abilities are, I almost think you need a big. But I think it's really hard to go get a functional big man right now, right? Like, if Tyson Chandler gets bought out, you get Tyson Chandler, but he's probably not going to get bought out, from my understanding. If you look at, like, anyone else that's available, Larry Sanders apparently had a bad workout, and, like, is he actually going to be good right away after missing a bunch of time?
Is he stoned? Is he not stoned? We don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's just all these questions. So it's like, okay, playmaking. You want a guy who can help create, take some of the burden off Kyrie and LeBron, especially in the regular season. Like, I think when you get to the playoffs, like, Kyrie and LeBron can do most of it, right? Like, they can handle a lot of that burden. But if you get somebody now that can take the pressure off of them to just ease their minutes, like, LeBron shouldn't be leading the league in minutes. And, like, a playmaker would stop him from doing that.
I think I saw today that they worked out Mario Chalmers, Kirk Heinrich, and there was one other name.
They're all going to be in Cleveland. Lance Stevenson. They're all going to be in Cleveland.
Oh, Lance Stevenson. That is great.
Really? So all of them.
I have a question on that note, especially with big men. One, let's say that they try to improve via trade, and I'm totally talking speculation right now.
The speculation stage.
Who makes sense to give up from Cleveland's side? And two, if that were to happen, whose minutes do you feel comfortable lowering with the exception of LeBron, because if you're adding another big man, then I would imagine one of Thompson, Fry, or Love is going to lose some minutes. Who would that be in your mind?
I would want to limit Alder. I mean, I would want someone to like cut into Alder minutes, honestly, just because like Love's got a bulky back.
And he won't play against the Wolves tomorrow.
Which is a bummer. Which is kind of a bummer.
It would be a bigger bummer if they were at Target Center, but yeah.
He saw it. Never mind.
Yeah. I mean, that's like in a week. Hopefully he's, you know, kind of good to go by then. I kind of, you know, Tristan, like, is very durable, but, like, you don't want to, you know, tax him too much. Fry is, like, really useful, but he is a defensive liability.
Totally.
Right.
You know, like, he used to be a very solid, just sort of passable defender.
He's older now. He's one of the remaining handful of players who played for Lou Dolson, and you can count them on two hands.
Yeah, like one of them is coaching the Lakers now. So like, you know, like,
that's a very astute point. Yes.
Yeah. So it's like a very just odd thing where like three big men, as much as like we're in this modern NBA where we value space and we value fluidity and we value playing small, like three bigs might not be enough.
That's fair. That's fair. Did you answer? Did
I envy? I envy the idea of having three useful bigs on a roster. Just for the record.
Speaking of players who played for Lou Dolson, Jordan Hill is chilling.
Yeah.
On the Wolves roster
again. Three useful bigs would be great.
Anyway, Chris, you've been a trooper, man. It's your show. Take it from here.
All right. So I'm just gonna drop the grenade, right? Like the proverbial grenade.
Do it, baby.
I'm excited.
I need to get into this, especially for the homie Bill Bull, because I'm sure he's gonna
Billy
get
Billy Bull. All right.
Hold on. What was the joke I told earlier, Timmy?
Oh, which one?
About the grenade and the losing the house. Hold on.
I don't know if you've told me this.
Sorry,
joke.
Chris.
I think you told it in your head.
No, you're good. You're good.
A wife is like a hand grenade. Take the ring off and say goodbye to your house. Pull that ring, baby.
Okay, here we go. Is Andrew Wiggins good?
Good as in the sense, would you rather trade him or Levine? Tim Fakeless, go.
good God. That yes, he's very good.
Obviously.
I think he's very, very good.
That's why I made the question a little more specific.
I think, and we've had people come on and talk about this before, I think his job right now is to develop the thing that he's going to be an elite weapon at in his prime, and that's scoring, and I think he's improving at that. I think if he was asked to become more of a facilitator, more of a rebounder, he would be able to do that, but that's not what the coaches are asking him to do right now. In terms of scoring, he's improving. In terms of passing out of double teams, and teams are double teaming him more and more, he's getting monumentally better at that. And just in terms of outside shooting, he's getting better. He's getting better at every aspect of the game, and he's already, I think this is his second straight year, averaging 20-plus, which, granted, means less to a team that hasn't made the playoffs since we were all in middle school. But the team is improving, and he's improving with it, and I don't think that's a coincidence.
I think the big question, Chris, is he going to gain enough muscle mass and grow in size enough to play the small ball four? And if that's
I agree with that, but continue.
Okay, in an ideal world, that happens, right? Like, if Wiggins grows into the full potential, like, the number one pick, the pick that the Bucks and Sixers had a tanking war over to get,
right,
that Cleveland happened to get and then trade for Kevin Love, if you're going to, you know, maximize your potential, if you're Andrew Wiggins, you grow into a small ball four. And I don't know if he does that right now.
I think his ideal role is a starting shooting guard.
Really?
Because let's say he does bulk up some more. He's already quick. He's already agile. He's already athletic. He's already 6'8". That is a terrifying guard for a shooting guard. If you put him at the four, even a bulkier version of what he is right now, that's still undersized and in spurts. I think a starting shooting guard in bulk is terrifying in an ideal world for Andrew Wiggins.
And you're right, because when Levine was injured, Wiggins started at the shooting guard. Brandon Rush was able to play at the three. You know, defensively, Brandon Rush is able to pick up the larger of the two wing opponents' players, and the Wolves go 3-0 in that span, and Steve McPherson is fully tongue-in-cheek tweeting out, "The Wolves can trade Levine now." So the big question around here, Chris, is Andrew Wiggins redundant with Zach LaVine? And offensively.
That seems crazy to me personally.
Doesn't like, okay. Like, I told. So, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, please.
Okay. So, like, I think the Wiggins is a big two thing is, like, actually, it's funny that you say that because that's what David Griffin thought of him as when they drafted him. Like, that was, like, what they were like, okay, we think he's going to be a big two guard. Like, that's where we see him having the most success. I kind of agree with that because I just don't know if he ever could get big enough to, like, functionally bulk up, like, Kawhi or LeBron.
Did you think that?
I have a hard time seeing him getting that big.
Did you think that at the time of the draft and you think differently now? Because I sort of thought it at the time of the draft, but his body type hasn't changed at all. So I will admit that I'm a little bit more pessimistic at the idea that he will grow into a physical specimen capable of playing small ball four.
Yeah, I think, like, I kind of thought of him as a three when he came out, but, like, I think, like, the big two thing makes sense, especially if you can get other long guys. Like, and I think him and LaVine, like, I don't know why you feel like you have to get rid of one of them. Like, I think, I know there's the holding with LaVine of the previous administration. They're trying to pigeonhole him into being a point guard, which never really made sense to me. Like, if you can develop him in other ways that kind of make him really useful off the ball, like as a cutter, as a spot-up shooter, and you can get him as a good defender, like, I think you could play them together. And I just don't know, like, why you would really, like, think about, like, you're so early in, like, the process for the Wolves. Like, I know there's all these expectations for them this year because of Cat mostly, and because you get Tibbs, but they're so young. They're so malleable. Like,
right?
You don't need to, like, force this.
What did,
like,
what did you do as a 21-year-old?
When I was 21, I was 2 years ago. I'm super young, man. I was drinking. I was in college at Ohio University covering basketball and, like, drinking a lot because it was really cheap to drink in Athens, Ohio.
Well,
you're like 2 years older than Tim.
I'll say this. Like,
younger.
I think most people agree that I think it's a given right now with Wiggins and LaVine that it's too early to make any conclusions. I don't think anyone's saying trade for either of them right now. And I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that one of them will be gone in the future. I think people see the redundancy, and my eyes were open in a recent podcast that we had with a guy you may be familiar with, Chris, Britt Robeson, who's kind of a local basketball writing legend around here.
Yeah, Billy Bull pointed him out to me.
Yeah,
way before his time.
Right. He's been covering the Wolves since their first year. But his point was that their redundancy more comes defensively, and it comes back to whether or not either of them can bulk up. If they can't, one of them will be guarding the two, maybe holding their own. The other will be forced, especially in crunch time situations, even if, say, just hypothetically, you bring LaVine off the bench.
Which I'm not for, by
right.
the way.
One of them will have to guard a small forward, and in today's NBA, just based on the age of a lot of these small forwards going forward, it's going to be your team's, one of your best scorers, basically. And I think that's where the concern comes in, less offensively. Wiggins is a little bit more capable of getting to the rim, whereas LaVine has more catch-and-shoot ability. So I don't think people are as worried offensively as they are defensively. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, more or less the essence of what Tim is saying is the redundancy comes at the defensive end. And as somebody who really doesn't care about defense, that was a point lost on me until it was brought up recently.
It's interesting. I just think, like, it's so crazy that I think basketball Twitter is like a group sort of, like,
oh, it's a community. It's a community. We're all family.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, but, like, we, like, pushed, like, the Wolves, like, so far ahead.
Tim Bontemps, like, Washington Post, 50 wins.
Oh, I mean, he's going to have to buy Zach Lowe, like, a really nice steak, apparently. So, him and Windhorst, too. It's like Windhorst and Bontemps are both, like, all in on this. And I was like, I mean, I'm like, I love the Wolves. Like, I think they're fascinating because you have all these young guys. I don't know if I love the idea of Tibbs for them right now. But, like, Wiggins, I watch film of him, and I know there's, like, the issues of, like, the rebounding and if he's not doing the auxiliary things in his game. But, like, I watch him on defense and in certain situations just manipulate space and use his arms and just, like, nab the ball. And I'm just like, young guys don't always do that. Like, young guys, look, sometimes just let those balls go by and look terrible. Like, I watched Deion Waiters try to figure out how to play NBA defense for a couple of years.
Good God.
Like,
we owe you a drink for that.
I mean, I'm Deion forever. Like, when Deion, like, hit those shots in the past week and hit that game winner against the Warriors.
That was so much fun to watch.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. And then he, like, courted Kobe and defending himself for, like, shooting a lot. And I'm here for Deion. But, like they're so young, and yet there's stuff they do really, really well. That's, like, a big, like, I think you just got to wait, right? And, like, it's not like they, like, if they were good this year, it's not like it was going to matter, right? Like, they probably weren't going to beat the Warriors. Like, they're probably not going to beat the Jazz. They're not going to beat the Spurs. Like, they're just not at that level. Even if they won 45 games, they're not going to be there. So, like, why rush this? Like, why get worried about the fact that it's not going particularly, like, it's not, like, hitting the max potential this year.
And the hilarious thing is this team is, the 8 seed in the West is so, like, just away from the rest of the Western Conference that the Wolves are 3 games out of a playoff spot right now.
It's Denver.
Yeah. Currently, it's Denver at, I think, 21-28.
And
21-25.
At the beginning of the year, or even at the end of last year, anybody who paid close enough attention to the NBA over the past 3 years would say, all right, Denver, Utah, and Minnesota, similar trajectories. Utah has obviously extended itself with the George Hill move.
And I don't think that shocks anyone necessarily.
And if you're a real, real optimistic Wolves fan, you would like to say that the Wolves were ahead of Utah at the end of last year.
Sure.
They weren't. Denver has sort of crept up on them with the emergence of Jokic. And Jamal Murray, I think, has been better than Chris Dunn has this year.
Yes.
But It's disappointing based on the expectations at the beginning of the year, how the Wolves have performed. But, Chris, does it surprise you if I tell you that Tom Thibodeau is not necessarily doing all he can to win? Like, I've been on the play Brandon Rush period at all. I think it does.
I think you and I both have.
I think it does well for the Wolves to play him, and they just haven't played him. And it makes no damn sense to me.
Yeah, it's weird, right? Like, it's weird that he wouldn't do that, because that's, like, the reputation of Tibbs. Like, he is this, like, ultra-win-now, like, ultra-do-everything, like, right away. But, like, maybe that's a sign that he actually did progress.
Yeah, and we're not asking you to give analysis on the Wolves, because that's not your...
I watch a lot of the Wolves. Like, I don't know if you guys do this, but, like, I try to keep track of how often I watch teams, because I just want to, like, make sure I'm not, like, watching, like, too much of, like, something bad. The Wolves were, as of my last check, which I think was 2 days ago, were like third on the team besides the Cavs that I've watched the most of.
Who's second?
Let's see if you can. Just take a guess. I want to see if
the Jazz.
One of them, okay, I'll give you a hint.
Shit.
Okay, the other top two teams. One is one of the league's 7 best teams, and the other one is like a hipster team.
The Utah Jazz.
So there's two teams at number two? I don't understand.
No, I was saying like one and two, like in the one and two spots.
I assume that because I've guessed the Utah Jazz twice,
dude,
that that's not correct.
Where are the Cavs?
The Cavs. So, he's saying besides the Cavs.
Oh.
Like, Cavs are out of this.
Not the Jazz. Like,
the two teams.
The Golden Jazz State Warriors.
Oh, the Jazz are one of them. Okay.
Yeah. I find Utah fascinating.
We do too. Tim Fakeless.
The Jazz are my squad.
That's Tim Fakeless's favorite team.
I also will like rail against the whole like Kyrie Irving Gordon Hayward thing that has happened. I'm here for like that thing happening.
What
too.
Thing? Go on. Say more.
So there's an ESPN. I don't know if there's like the whole Kyrie analytics thing.
Yeah, where he doesn't pass enough and get enough assists.
Yeah, gets buckets. There's like this whole.
No wonder the Cavs need a playmaker.
Oh man,
got to get Deli back.
Jesus.
There's like a whole thing where like I'd like rather have Gordon Hayward than Kyrie, and like Gordon Hayward's great. Give me Kyrie. Like, give me Kyrie.
Every time?
Like, 8 out of 10.
That's
fair.
What's the argument for Gordon Hayward over Kyrie that you've seen that bugs you the most? I'm assuming you've seen one or two. Is it the assists?
I think it's, like, the assists and that, like, he's someone you would rather have. Like, I would rather have the ball in Kyrie's hand. And, like, I think if you, like, watch Kyrie a lot, like, if you watch Kyrie more this year, especially the last, like, month, he's been a much more willing passer and a willing creator for others. Like, he's gotten good at it.
Okay. That right. Seems totally fair. And then the Utah Jazz are the basketball hipster team, if I'm not mistaken.
Well,
right?
I guess they're not. I guess they're not really like the hipster team because they were like in the league's like best 7. So the other hipster team is probably pretty obvious.
Oh, so we haven't even guessed it.
Oh.
Yeah, you got another one.
But it's obvious.
Oh. No, I mean, like, there's a player on that team that is, like, a hipster player.
The New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, no. God, no.
No, no.
I don't know if the Anthony Davis bandwagon is still that heavy.
Is it the Rockets, bro?
No, not the Rockets.
Oh, man. Hey. Oh, the Kings.
Or the Knicks.
Oh, no. That
Knicks would be my next guess.
Oh, man.
After that, I'm out of guesses.
Well, I think we're missing somebody. Hold on.
Okay. First of all.
Oh, the Sixers.
Oh, no.
Damn it.
No. Dude. That's close. They're like number seven.
We live in... Go on.
You only got to watch when Embiid's there.
We live in Minneapolis, which is second only to Portland in accommodations for bike travelers.
And we're a hipster-ass area.
Like, dude, half of certain roadways are dedicated to bikers, and it is snow and ice for 9 months out of the year. We are hipsters. It is like, if you've watched BoJack Horseman, there are hipster references to Minneapolis in that show. Which is,
and you've seen BoJack Horseman, which is a hipster ass show. It's great. I love that show. So anyway,
it feels great.
Anywho, our definitions of hipster might not match up. So just give us the answer, okay?
All right. So this is a hipster pick because they're kind of goofy and they're kind of just in a weird NBA city. It's the Nuggets because of Jokic.
Oh, okay. I dig it. A lot of foreign nationals on that team,
and I can't make sense of like how they're building that roster.
Right?
Like it's wonky. Like there's no like good way to necessarily like plan on roster building. Like the Cavs are only good now because they got LeBron back. Like they might have been crappy forever if they don't get that back, right? Like the Wolves get their reboot restarted because Kevin Love wants out, and the Cavs just so like these things happen like in these certain ways. The Nuggets have had no way of that happening. Like they've kind of been picking in weird spots. They haven't like drafted that transcendent guy, like their best player who they just realized was their best player, they drafted in the second round.
Well, and they had the whole, you know, sell Melo thing.
Yeah.
That happened. But no, even then it's weird because you have Jokic, but at the beginning of the year, Nurkic started, and at a certain point, it was like, oh my God, this guy's the best center in the league. Now he can't even get minutes, and Jokic is playing to his full potential and realizing his full potential. I don't know.
Yeah, he's so fun. Like they're in Cleveland in like 2 weeks. I'm real excited to watch it, and I want to see how the Cavs like go. I really just wonder like how a passing big impacts how you defend a team.
Well, hopefully so Jokic is healthy because he's like day to day.
I know it's
right
a bummer.
Now. Right?
Bummer. Keep Biggs healthy. That's like my, like him and Embiid and like in Towns and Porzingis, just keep them healthy for the next decade.
No, yeah, no shit. If you want to go real hipster on the bit, you know what was really fun to watch? The Serbian national team with Jokic and our boy, my boy specifically, Nemanja Bjelica. It's just like, good God, he is underperforming.
We've talked on this on our weekly podcast, I guess, Wolves Wired. Shouts to Wolves.
Part of the Cool Omaha podcast.
About how just fantastic and fun the Yugoslavian team would be right now if that were still a full forced country.
Oh, man.
Serbia. I mean, is Croatia part of it? Am I wrong?
Yeah, it would be.
So, like, you'd have Damjan Rudej and who's the rookie? Well,
Rudej is like the 12th best player
who's the rookie,
on the roster.
Who's the rookie on Orlando right now? Or not the rookie, second year guy now. Mario Hezonja would be on that team.
Bojan Bogdanovic.
Oh, man.
Nemanja Bjelica, Goran Dragic, Nikola Pekovic, assuming he's... I mean, you could have a lot of fun with that, Russ.
It would be so much fun.
Too bad, you know, politics and stuff.
Yeah.
Anywho, Kevin Love's not playing tomorrow. Any injury updates?
Kevin Love, I would expect to see... If you're a Wolf fan wondering what the Cavs are going to do rotation-wise, the Cavs are going to have some rotation wonkiness. They're kind of just trying everything right now.
Hella. How's the Kyle Korver acquisition going for you?
I think he's kind of adjusting. I think like he's not used to...
He's got a terrible plus minus if we're letting facts get in the way.
Yeah. He's having like issues, I think, like getting used to the different ways he's going to get the ball in Cleveland. And I think it's different. It's like it's a whole new world when he's playing off like LeBron James instead of playing off...
I was
like
going to say, is open just too confusing for him right now? Yeah. Or...
He would come off like seven screens in Atlanta, and now he comes off like none. Yeah. And it's just like, okay, Kyle, you're just gonna get to stand there and shoot. And it's just like a weird thing.
What
for
a gig!
Him.
He and Kevin Love should have coffee, where Kevin Love's like,
yeah,
dude, I know how it is, bro. Just go stand in the corner and wait. Eventually, it'll work out. I have a feeling, and I'm more or less asking you the same question. after the All-Star break, it'll look like Kyle Korver is a lot, you know, more of a part of the Cavs.
He'll
core,
look more
right?
like Kyle Korver, I would imagine.
It's like, good God, Tyronn Lue will have 5 days to draw up some sets for this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think he just will get, like, he'll be more comfortable then. Like, I mean, it's his first week was, they're on this crappy West Coast road trip. They're finishing and getting destroyed by the Warriors, and then he hadn't even been in Cleveland for, like, the first week and a half or so that he was with the Cavs.
Yeah. Hey, well,
like, not ideal.
Chris, if you're looking for rotation updates for the Wolves, I can tell you.
I'll tell you Brandon Rush won't play. I'll tell you that.
Or more
right
specifically,
now.
If you watched a game in November, it's about that. I mean, okay, you're going to have Ricky Rubio, you're going to have Zach LaVine, Andrew Wiggins, Gorgui Dieng, Karl-Anthony Towns.
Shabazz Muhammad
will come off the bench first for Zach LaVine. Bielitsa will probably follow with Cole Aldrich.
He'll go.
Or no, Chris Dunn will come off before both of them, I bet.
Yeah.
It's those four off the bench. That's your rotation.
It's funny how Wolves fans are, because the initial negativity, you know, if you're weighing out positive negatives, which Wolves fans did at the time of the Tibbs hiring, it's like, oh, Tibbs is going to burn out all our good young players. And then he started doing it, and nobody talks about it at all. It's like, yeah, this is fine.
It's more fun because when you're watching the game, you're sitting there, and the Wolves are they'll have like a 10-point lead. Towns and Wiggins are on the bench, and Team X is starting to creep back. And you don't care that Towns has 32 minutes, and there's still 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. You're like, damn it, put Towns back in the game. Let's go. But, that's the state of the Wolves when you're 10 games under 500.
It happened, and no one bitches because Tom Thibodeau is above replacement level.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let me just ask you guys this so my listeners sort of know this. Because I'm not sure how many of them watch the Wolves now.
Sure.
Or are still listening.
If you've made it this far, like, props. You're the greatest.
This is
the best podcast
I've ever done, by the way.
make podcasts. I can't even say it.
All right, go on.
Can't even do it. Just to people, like my listeners know, how good is Karl-Anthony Towns? Like, just explain how good he actually is. Because I think sometimes, like, people, like, look at his stats from last year and then compare him to this year, and they're like, he didn't, like, improve. He's great. Like, and in my opinion, I don't think it's, like, disputable that he's great and he's just going to be great for a long time.
No, he's obviously phenomenal in every aspect of the game. I think that if you're looking for some insight into the player that Karl-Anthony Towns is, he knows in every way how he's perceived and all that stuff. Like, we go in after games, and he's sitting at his locker. He's got his head in his hands after losses. Or I think on the court a couple weeks ago, it was if he waited to get triple team before passing out of the triple team. Like, we already talk about the guy in the sense that he's a Hall of Famer, and he hasn't even made an All-Star team yet. He's phenomenal. He needs to hone in on certain areas of his game. And I think he's improved in certain areas, like passing out of double teams, especially in recent weeks, before he can become that stretch five that everyone presumes him to be. The other night, Tim Fakeless was there against Indiana. He hits three threes in a Wolves late rally that ended up coming up short, where he and LaVine combined for four threes. That Towns ended up hitting three of them. Get them back in the game. He's only hit the most threes he's hit in a game is three this year, and I expect that number to go up in years to come. And defensively, he's been god-awful at times. I mean, Tom Thibodeau has talked after games about hero ball, and everybody likes to single out the fact that either Towns, Wiggins, or LaVine late in close games, especially early in the season, early in the shot clock, take it upon themselves to try to take shots to get the Wolves back in or take the lead or to tie or what have you. But I think really Thibodeau, a defensive, you know, specialist psychopath, is talking about the defensive end, and Karl-Anthony Towns is rotating over when he doesn't need to rotate over to try to get this game-saving block when in actuality he'll rotate over and a veteran point guard on the other team will just pass to the guy who Towns is supposed to be guarding, and then that guy dunks it. It happened in an earlier game against Denver for sure and a couple of other ones, and so defensively, he's got a lot of areas to improve in. Obviously, he's going to be an All-Star next year. He wasn't this year. I think that was good for him. It's going to make him hungrier if you're into that type of narrative. But, he has a lot of areas to hone in on his game, and we've only really seen Towns begin to scratch the surface of where he's at as a player.
I think you can. There's a Anthony Davis is a guy that I feel like he's compared to a lot for some good reasons. They're both young.
They're both Kentucky.
For some lame reasons, they're both Kentucky guys, one and dones. I think Karl Anthony Towns at this stage is more advanced offensively than Davis. I think Davis was more advanced defensively. Towns is 7 feet, 250 pounds, and is a better ball handler than 80% of the guys on the floor most of the time, which is a terrifying thought.
Last year is the Wolves' best shooter.
Yeah.
Wasn't even close.
His shooting, especially his three-point shooting, wasn't great to start the year. It's getting better. He's straying away a little bit from his mid-range shooting, which he's basically dead on with.
He mastered that Tim Duncan high, you know, a little bit above the free throw line.
Like,
shot.
Yeah, Tim Duncan, Al Horford, now Karl Anthony Towns. That's kind of the trajectory that's going on.
Not bad.
But he's setting up to basically, and I'm, maybe this is a bias, but I don't think it is. As far as centers go, he's pretty much setting up to have a perfect offensive game in the late stages of his career. There's not really anything that right now it looks like he's going to be even average at, and I think that includes passing, because his passing out of double teams has gotten exponentially better this year, especially within the year, because the beginning of the year it was brutal. Tunnel vision was definitely a problem for him. But like you said, defensively, not just leaving assignments, but going up for stupid blocks that would result in goaltends, which is still an issue, is kind of persistent. I think that happened a couple times last night. Like any young player, there are going to be some deficiencies, maybe with the exception of LeBron. I don't know. He might have been perfect right away. But every player has their deficiencies right away. Towns, at 21, has very few. He's a freak. There's no doubt.
Totally. And everybody, the player that he, you know, we expect him to become was the possession that is emblematic of that was the Curry possession last year, where he stepped out on a switch on Curry and the Golden State win, where they defeated Golden State on the road.
Right.
And that's all well and good and everything, but it's the nuances that he needs to pick up.
Just exactly.
Staying at home, letting a guy who's defending a driving ball handler just contest the layup and living with the outcome of that layup. I mean, you don't have to make the game-saving play on every possession.
Like the way I'd put it, he's very, very good at all the stuff that if you're a casual fan or even a pretty serious fan, you're going to enjoy watching. The stuff that you may not notice unless you're really watching him specifically, very closely, on a game-to-game basis, he's still improving on. And that's things like defensive assignments and rotations.
Yeah. Going rogue has been a problem for him.
Yeah,
that's our short answer.
Yeah, he's great. Like, I'm very excited to see. Like, there's guys that you always want to see in person, right? Like, he's been on my list since like midway through his rookie year.
Here's a question for you as an outside observer: who is the higher upside, Andrew Wiggins or Zach LaVine?
I think Wiggins. I do. Like, I just think like his length, his ability to leverage space, his defensive upside, like all these things that I think he just has the ceiling to get better. I just love the framework of what Wiggins could be. I want him to there's like things I want him to like do that like that kind of frustrate me. Like, I want him to just commit sometimes just going all out on driving more. Like, I want him to lean into the athleticism a bit more at times. But I think he's really good, and I think he's, even though there are things he needs to get better at, like, I think he has more polished to his game than LaVine does. Because my thing with LaVine is, like, I think he's really talented. I think he's going to be a really useful NBA player. I want to start seeing more signs of him being polished, and I haven't really. I don't like watch like every night, and I'm not like seeing him in person, and that's certainly a different. Like, I think you do get an appreciation of a guy when you see him in person, like more so than you always can when you're watching League Pass or something like that. But I just think like he's just not quite polished in the way that I think Wiggins has shown at least flashes of being.
It's fair enough. What else? I'm at 45 minutes, and we were about 4 or 5 when we.
I have a question that I don't know quite how to frame.
Well,
that's okay. That's
you might as well
but
talk.
But I'm going to try.
Talk it out, baby.
It's surrounding a former Wolf great, Mike Miller. No, Kevin Love.
That was a really niche joke.
Yeah, well, fair enough. He played for the Cavs, didn't he?
No, but when
he did.
When Kevin Love came back.
Oh, yeah, the hype video. Yeah, okay.
When Kevin Love came back to play the Wolves as a member of the Cavs for the first time ever, there was this huge promo video. hyping up a former Timberwolf who was making his return, and it was just basically trolling Kevin Love because at the end of the video it was Mike Miller.
You may not believe me, but I honestly wasn't thinking of that. Anyway, Kevin Love, I mean, it's his third year, if I'm not mistaken now.
He's got a ring. He was vindicated, basically.
He was vindicated in the sense that he got a ring. How do you feel about him in the grand scope of things? Let's say, no, I'm not going to give you scenarios or anything. How do you feel about him just in a general sense of things? Like, you got him for the first overall pick. Do you feel like...
Do you regret the trade?
No. Won a title.
Of course, like, that's why title. I didn't want to ask that. Of course, you don't regret the trade. Won the title.
I asked.
He was a part of it. How do you feel about him? Not necessarily in terms of the trade, but how do you feel about him in the role that he plays? And do you feel like he could fit better in a better situation? How do you feel about it? I'm going to let you speak.
Yeah. So I think if you put him in a different situation, he certainly would be doing more. And I think at times it is frustrating to watch him work, and then the Cavs just don't like let him operate out of the elbow. Because I think some of the problems they're having with the could be solved.
Marry me right now.
With like Kevin Love throwing passes out of the elbow and off the block. Like,
he's good at it.
Some truth to that.
LeBron James cutting from the corner to the hoop. Back door.
Kyrie's a good spot-up shooter. Like, statistically, he's a good spot-up shooter.
I go six to midnight thinking about it, bro.
But like this year, if you look at the year he's having, I think it's getting closer now, but I think to date he's been the second best player on the team. I really do think that.
Wow.
I think he's been
okay.
I think like he's been the Kevin Love you've seen this year up until some of the back issues of late has been probably the best version of Kevin Love you could get playing with LeBron at this point in LeBron's career. That's kind of where I'm standing on it. Like, I think he's deserving All Star. I think the title freed him up to sort of be more of a complete Kevin Love, like a more like functional Kevin Love. And I think it's been really fun. I think like there are little issues with it that I don't think, but I think stuff like him really being a playmaker for the team, I just don't know if that's ever going to happen at this point.
Oh, and I totally wish it would, because I am always the first to remind people that in his last season with the Wolves under Rick Adelman, who watched Kevin Love play in high school and totally knew how to utilize Kevin Love, out of the high post, he averaged 4.8 assists, but who's counting?
Okay, this is random, unrelated. Well, it's not unrelated to anything. My dad just texted me.
Go on. Daddy Fakeless. Chris, let me just add some context here. Tim has been one of my great friends for a good while. I've never met his father, and his father has listened to every single podcast that he's been on.
Amazing.
With me, and he... I don't know what he thinks of me, but I would like to know. It probably...
It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the Cavaliers and the Timberwolves.
Go on. I'm a very narcissistic asshole, so go on.
He asks, do you think Tristan Thompson would be an upgrade over Gorgui Dieng?
Oh.
Chris, how would you feel about Tristan Thompson
for
Gorgui Dieng?
In a vacuum, all things being equal, I don't know what the contract similarities are.
I just thought the timing of this was weird because he has no idea I'm going on this podcast.
As in recording it right now.
Right.
Tristan is, I think just like what we've seen Tristan do in the role he's asked to do, I think like he might be more valuable just because he's an elite rebounder. He's elite at defending guards in his basic. I don't know if there aren't many bigs I'd be more comfortable switching than him. Like, he's just so good at it.
He's better than Gorgui Dieng, I'll say that right now.
Yes.
I don't know, like, I guess
there's no question about it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, you can throw, like, Thompson, like, in a shorter shot clock on, like, guards, and it's, like, fine. Like, it's okay. Like, that's an acceptable outcome.
You want a finals doing it.
Honestly, yeah.
Kevin Love did that, too. Sorry.
I mean, but how many languages does Tristan Thompson speak? I mean, these are the real...
Did Tristan Thompson babysit Rick Pitino's kids? Sorry. I'm going to let you finish.
Tristan Thompson is a Canadian hero, though. Do you have him and Wiggins?
Oh, my God, I did not consider that narrative. We already tried with Anthony Bennett, though, and that did not work.
And if the Wolves have Tristan Thompson, maybe they draft Jamal Murray like I wanted to, and we'd be talking about a much different team.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, like, Tristan, like, I think that is, like, my biggest thing with him that I don't really know why he hasn't gotten better at it. Maybe it's, you know, reps. Maybe it's just like he has a fine thing in this way. He's just not like a fluid finisher. Like, he's good at dunks, but he's not good at like the simple one, like what should be a simple one-step layup and drop. Like he's not good at making most of those situations. And Gorgui is like a little bit more smooth in that area, right? Like he's not, you know, like an elite finisher, but like he at least like looks like he's natural doing that. Tristan looks very awkward when he rises up.
He's definitely smooth. Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if
he's got very long motions. It's like
slow motions.
It takes him forever to actually do what he's going to do.
He has a very, very steady mid-range game. In fact, I think I've seen a stat that he has the highest field goal percentage from mid-range in the NBA this year, which is weird.
Especially at people of his position, for sure.
Well, I mean, I think in the whole... No, I think he has the best field goal
percentage.
Well, he's
comparable to Chris Paul as far as mid-range elbow jump shot.
Right, which is incredibly random, one. And two, no knock on Tristan Thompson, because frankly, if I'm Tom Thibodeau, I think I'd do that trade. But
it's Thibodeau.
It's Thibodeau.
Oh, is it? All right.
It's Thibodeau.
Our listeners will DM me, believe me.
It's Thibodeau.
All right.
I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. I think Tristan Thompson is perfect for LeBron James, right? He does all the little dirty work things. Offensive rebounding, especially. Kicking it back out. I mean, the finals that they lost, where it was LeBron milking the shot clock for every second that it was worth, it was like if they missed, Tristan Thompson got the rebound and they tried again. He's important to what the Cavs do. I think if you swap Gorgui and Tristan Thompson, the Cavs don't benefit from that deal.
All right, well, I'm assuming we're wrapping up here relatively soon.
Yeah, Chris, you got anything else for us?
Let's play one little fun game. Let's just do some little over-unders and we'll get out of here. So, all right, over-under points on Andrew Wiggins for this game, 22.5.
Over. Andrew Wiggins is a popcorn player?
I'm pretty sure Andrew Wiggins is averaging about 73 points per game against the Cavs, and they haven't won yet. I don't think they've beaten the Cavs yet, but he scores a lot.
I'm here for the Andrew Wiggins like 70-point game in Cleveland.
I'll take the over. I don't even the app I usually go to, which isn't, you know, some fucking niche app. It's the CBS Sports app. Doesn't have the over unders up for tomorrow's game yet, but I will take the over.
All right. And then let's say
swearing. I know you're going to use this on your podcast, but
whatever. They know what they're getting into. Over under Kyrie Irving assists 4.5. I just want to see you guys end up on that.
Taking the under.
See how weird it gets.
Under
4.5 assists for Kyrie.
Under.
I'm taking over, considering the speed of the Cavaliers and the Wolves' poor, I'll say, transition defense.
Who are you and how did you get into the studio?
You don't think Kyrie Irving's going to get over 5 assists against the Wolves?
No, I took the under. We'll bet a beer on it.
Okay.
All right. Last one. All right. How many times will Ricky Rubio do something cool? Over under of, let's say, 4.5.
I'm going to say under, only because I think Tom Thibodeau had. Is that really that?
No,
shocking?
I'm just
Ricky Rubio of 5 years ago is not Ricky Rubio of now. He's still a very, very solid player, a very good starter. He's not as. He's not constantly doing the cool stuff that I think he did years ago. Maybe I'm just used to it, and I'm not seeing it.
He only made 6 threes last night.
It's not the same as like the stuff he was drafted for in his highlight videos, though.
Fine.
The behind-the-back no-look passes aren't as frequent, so I will say under for that.
What is it, 3.5?
Yeah. I'm going over.
I'll take the over. Fuck it.
Wow.
To go against Tim. Wow. Wow. I'm taking the over. So for the record, I'm taking the under on Kyrie's 4.5.
Which apparently, my opinion is just shocking, I guess.
I'm taking the over on Rubio's cool shit.
5 assists. I think that's over his average, isn't it?
No way.
Kyrie?
No.
What is Kyrie's assist per game average?
I'm looking it up. I think it's low. I mean, like LeBron.
It's not 4.5. There's no way. I'll wait. Yeah. It's dead air. It's fine. I don't care.
5.7.
Really?
No, that's more than I thought.
5.7.
I thought Kyrie didn't get enough.
He's never averaged. He averaged 4.7 last year. That was his career low.
4.7 assists was.
I thought get at me.
I thought he didn't get enough assists.
Don't at me. Don't at me.
It's a good thing I don't cover the Cavs because from everything I've read, which is I blame my lack of knowledge about Kyrie's assist numbers to Justin Rowan. Let's
guys. If we want to just collectively blame Justin for everything, that's cool.
In fact, we did on Sunday, and I don't think we quoted him for something I don't think he actually said. We just picked random basketball Twitter dude and picked Justin.
I'm pretty sure in Justin's Twitter account, like he says, his Twitter is trash. So like, it's cool.
Right on.
His the first words in his Twitter account. I would have just pulled this up. Mostly trash.
I don't.